This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying in the bed, on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on them. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and then he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." "Ephphatha," "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. The more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well, even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The true gospel of the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the word of life. Say that fast 10 times. Ephphatha. Ephphatha. Wow. Say good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Happy Labor Day weekend.
Happy Labor Day.
Ready for the barbecue?
Revolution.
There was a really popular television show called The Office. The Office was about employees of Dunder Mifflin, a fictional paper company in Scranton, Pennsylvania. The show was called a mockumentary. There were unique times in the program when the characters looked into the camera and shared their thoughts and feelings about their job or coworkers. The Office mocked issues like office politics, downsizing, inefficiency, sexual harassment, lame team-building exercises, and office romances. It's awkward, embarrassing, and occasionally inappropriate, which is exactly why people liked it. It reminded them of how they really felt about work. We all know what it's like to have an incompetent or demeaning boss, or to work next to someone who makes weird noises and locks up their phone so no one can use it. We know what it's like to have turf wars, to face impossible deadlines, to sit through boring meetings and to deal with difficult people. We've all been bored or stressed out by our work and have wondered why we're there. One of the points of the GV program is that for many people, work is absurd. They spend hours every day in a place they don't want to be, with people they don't like, doing a job they don't enjoy, for a paycheck that's never enough. Of course, some of us can remember the Tennessee Ernie Ford song, "You load 16 tons and what do you get? Another day older, deeper in debt." Work sounds glamorous, doesn't it? Even the best job can lose its luster at times. But imagine heading to work each day with a sense of expectancy instead of dread, and arriving home at the end of the day feeling satisfied. Imagine your work making you a better person instead of a bitter person. Imagine it deepening your faith instead of undermining your faith. Imagine the work you do making a real difference in the world and having an internal impact on people's lives. Work, when properly understood and performed, is good. With this being Labor Day weekend, I thought it was appropriate to talk a little bit about work. Labor Day celebrates the American worker as it was passed by Congress in 1894. This is a good thing. The Bible speaks about work from Genesis all the way through Revelation. Even the early church was dealing with some work-related issues. Paul addressed them in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's take a look now at the words of Paul. "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother." Paul makes it very clear we are supposed to work. He tells us that those who are idle are lazy. They're slacker, a wayward. In fact, Paul makes this even stronger when he said in verse 6, "We command you." But Paul makes this command not on his authority, but in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of people expected Jesus to return at any moment. So if Jesus was going to come back in the next couple of days or weeks, then, well, why worry? Well, they didn't really know when Jesus was returning, and we're still waiting. Because they weren't working, they had lots of free time, and they were becoming more and more of a drain on the church. This was causing a number of issues in the church, and Paul wanted to address this. Paul reminded the people that you're supposed to work, just as he was working. He was a tent maker and could have requested money and support from the people, but he didn't. Paul wanted the people to imitate his work ethic. Paul worked so that he could plant churches. He wasn't dependent upon others. He didn't want to take advantage of his hosts. He wanted to be a model so people would imitate him. Without making a political statement, because this is not about that, work in the USA has been an issue. Since this pandemic started, many people have lost jobs. Some have stayed home because they felt it was safer. Some have stayed home because they were being paid to stay home. There's lots of reasons. A McDonald's in Medford, Oregon, posted this banner outside their store. Yep, they're hiring 14 to 15-year-olds. They couldn't get anyone else to work for them. The owner said, "The new employees are doing a great job. I'm glad to hear it, but that's what's going on in our world." Maybe part of the reason for people not working is the fact that work is just a job. There's no passion. There's no hope. There's no sense of a future. There's no sense that in work you're actually serving Christ. We'll always have those who are more slothful and lazy with us. That didn't suddenly occur when COVID did. It has always been here. We know those people. We've worked with some of them. We know their tendencies. Take long lunches, work shorter hours, shuffle papers, make excuses. They believe they're overworked and underpaid, and so on. Yet they believe they are honoring God. Let's go back and look at what Paul said in verse 10. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. It's a command. If anyone is not willing to work, don't give him any food. That's pretty brutal, isn't it? The church had a great deal of sharing of their possessions. They shared their goods and their food. So if someone isn't bringing in a paycheck, not because they can't, but because they won't, Paul said, just don't feed them. The hope is that when you're hungry, you may be willing to step it up a bit. Well, here's the secondary issue that was going on. When you have lots of time on your hands, what might you do? Paul calls them out in the next verse. Well, we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. See, it's a play on words. Some who are idle are busy bodies. A better translation comes from the New King James Version. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. You see, you can be idle and be quiet and not be the source of issues. You just sit like a lump. But that wasn't happening. The word used for idleness is better translated as unruly, undisciplined, or disorderly. In other words, these people who were not working, who were idle and lazy, were acting in a disorderly and unruly manner. That spells it out more. They weren't just idle, they were disruptive to the community. And they were busybodies. It's the only time this word is used in the Bible. Literally, it means to bustle about uselessly, to busy oneself about trifling, needless, useless matters. So Paul is telling us that these people are acting in an unruly and undisciplined manner as they meddle in other people's business, which is totally useless and needless. Paul's pretty tough on these idle folks. He tells the church, keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Again, sounds pretty harsh. But at the same time, Paul also reminded the people that this person is still a brother and is to be redeemed. We are to help those who choose to be idle. We are to encourage them to get back to work, find satisfaction in working. We work because God has gifted us to do some pretty amazing things with our gifts and talents. We use them for His glory. We are to be faithful to Jesus and faithful to the church because we represent both Jesus and His church. We have the opportunity to glorify Jesus with our work. And Paul reminds the Thessalonians in verse 13, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't get tired of doing good. Don't get tired of doing what's right in the name of Jesus. Paul is reminding us that by working, by caring for ourselves and our family, by supporting the work of the church, we are doing good. Sometimes, if we're to be honest, it can be very draining to do good to those who are draining you. Sometimes you want to walk away, not invest time in them. Yet, Paul wants us to take a deep breath and not get tired. How do we do that? We trust in God's power and presence. Maybe it's very simply praying for that person. Maybe it's giving encouragement. It's not rocket science, but it's not something we always want to do. The most basic first step is to commit to praying for that person in a positive manner. When we do what's right, what's good, we're encouraged, and even though it may not always be easy to do, we're doing something, even though we may not realize it, we are part of a much larger work that God's doing in and through us, in the church, in the city, in the nation, in the world. We're doing good as we honor and glorify God. Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, Father, through Him. That really becomes our marching orders. Whatever you do, whether you're at work, or at home, or a volunteer, wherever you do everything in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything. And sometimes that's a struggle. Sometimes, as I said at the beginning, we're not happy with work. We're not happy with whatever we're doing. Yet the goal is to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you're not happy with your boss, can you still honor that person, even pray for them? When things aren't great at home, can you still do everything in the name of Jesus, which has to change things? When you have to do some volunteer work you don't want to honor Jesus? Whatever you do, wherever you are, Do what you were called to do. Don't give it a half-hearted effort. Give it everything. Do it for the one who gave his life for you. Do whatever you're doing as if Jesus were standing next to you or sitting next to you. Picture him with you. Maybe that starts to change things. I've read, if you're praised, do your job. If you're ignored, do your job. If you're yelled at, do your job. Point is, no matter what's happening, do what you were called to do. Doing it all in the name of Jesus. Know that your work matters to God and that you show who Christ is through your commitment to your work. Do it at home, at work, wherever you go. Labor Day comes once a year. Many will gather for picnics and barbecues with no thought about why they work. We can show others who Christ is through our work. We're men and women who desperately want to be faithful to God. We can help others see who Christ is in us. I think so many of us just want to hear those great words from Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Be that servant. Amen.
A bishop a day keeps the devil away. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service.
The announcements.
The announcements. And guess what? We have it back on the screen now. And we're all good here. We've got the graphics back. But guess what? We're going to whiz through these pretty quickly today because we've got barbecue on the way.
Yay!
We've got about 15 minutes before we get to it. We still got to set the table and everything. So bear with us. We're going to go quick. All right, here we go. Marathon.
Go, Pastor. Go, Pastor.
I'm telling you. You can't make a difference. We rely on donations here at the church. That's all we rely on. We don't get any money from anybody else but donations and tithes. Without you, we don't exist. If you like what you hear here, if you like what you see here, if you believe in our message, please make a donation to Dallas Universal Life Church. All you have to do is go to dallasulc.com and click on donate. It's very simple. Please. Now, I hear all the time, Pastor, I love the church, I want to be part of the church, but I don't have any money. Well, guess what? I don't either. You do what I do. You volunteer. Volunteering is a great way to become a new member of a church, we can meet new people. It's also a great way to give service to your church and to also tithe to your church. To volunteer, go to www.dallasulc.com and click on volunteers. That's simple. Very, very simple there. Your jobs are listed there. If you don't like any of them, that's okay. Come on in. We'll find something for you to do. Trust me, there's plenty to do here. Okay? DallasULC.com, click on volunteer. I'll be a record here. Request for prayer. Very, very important. If you have a prayer that you need us to deal with, we'll be glad to. We pray every day here at Dallas Universal Life Church. Pray@DallasULC.com is the email address you need. Just send us that your request. We'll be glad to take care of it during the week in our regular prayers. Or you can ask to be saved during our prayer session on Sundays. You may not know or give us your name. Pray@DallasULC.com. Another email address for you, feedback@DallasULC.com. That's feedback@DallasULC.com. That's for compliments, concerns, suggestions, or complaints. Pretty much self-explanatory there. Did you know we have a podcast?
We have a podcast?
Yeah, we have a podcast. We do have a podcast. And you know what? If you haven't checked it out yet, I don't know what's wrong with you. Check it out. Look, it is different hearing it on the podcast than watching it on YouTube or even being here in person. You catch different things. I don't know why. You just do. Check it out. You'll believe me when you hear it. All right, how you do that? You go to Your Path with Bishop Mark. You just type in Your Path with Bishop Mark under Google or MSN or whatever it is you're using as your search provider. If you don't want to do that, you can always check out one of these wonderful apps that carries us, and that would be Anchor by Spotify. Listen In. Podcast, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Overcast, CastBox, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, and TuneIn. They hit me with those little listen parts on there. I was kind of messing up. Yeah, I think I got it all in there, though. All right. Check out the podcast. All right, here we go. Yeah, we've seen the video. We know what it is. I'm not going to go through it again today. Video, by the way, this video is available on our YouTube channel. All of our videos we do here, things like that, you want to reminisce about whatever we've done in the past, which is great. I think it's what we have the members of it. It's all right there on our YouTube page, okay? The Walk to End Alzheimer's is November the 11th, folks, coming up. So on November the 10th, 2021, let's go through the schedule very quickly with you again here. We have the annual Walk to End Alzheimer's sleepover, okay? The doors close at 10 p.m. That's here at the church, okay? That's it. 10 p.m. No more. No more in or out. Okay? November the 11th. We will depart the church no later than 7 a.m. to head to Dallas City Hall. Again, they're doing it at Dallas City Hall this year. So it's going to be the big gathering again. It's going to be a lot of, you know, it's a good thing to go to. It really does boost you up when you have all the people around you. Okay? So, registration is at 8 a.m. Opening ceremonies are at 9 a.m. and the walk commences at 9:30 a.m. Okay? Then don't forget, on November the 12th, 2021, of course, you still have Sunday service at 3 p.m. Please don't forget to come back to service. Okay? All right. Moving on. Oh, my bad. Here you go. http://act.alz.org/go-to/DallasULC. We'll do it one more time. This is if you want to join our group and walk with us. You're welcome to do that. We'd love to have you. Or if you'd like to donate to our group or to one of our team members, that's where you do that. I'm going to give it to you again. http://act.alz.org/go-to/DallasULC. Okay? Or you can just go to the Alzheimer's, walking in Alzheimer's site and search for Dallas ULC. You'll find us there. Okay? So sometimes that's a little easier. All right, moving on. All right. Kevin, how long was that video?
30 seconds.
No.
20 seconds.
Yes. It takes 20 seconds to kill the germs. A minimum of 20 seconds would be to wash your hands with soap and water. Listen, that's not putting the soap on and then going down to the water and counting. It's 20 seconds up here with the soap. Then you do the water. Rinse it real good. Then you dry it off. Then you go get the hand sanitizer if you can. Okay? Look, folks. Pandemic or not, we really should know this stuff. And this is just basic hygiene. And I see it over and over again. People just don't do it. And that's, not only is it selfish, but it's rude. You're spreading things that you don't need to be spreading. There's no need for it. The water's provided for you, but the soap is provided for you. Take care of it. There are things in this world that we don't understand necessarily. I mean, coronavirus was one. I mean, they got us. It still is getting us. And just wash your hands. It protects you. It protects other people. I the last thing I want to do is get everybody else sick. So, you know, let's do our part. If everybody does their part, this thing can stop. If everybody washes their hands and becomes more hygienically aware, this thing can stop. Okay? That's my short version of that. Wash your hands, get vaccinated, and continue to use social distance practices, okay?
We can make a Muppet.
We could. It's serious, I got it. Seriously. Do those things. Wash your hands, get vaccinated, and continue social distance. Okay? Moving on. Final thing here. I'm sorry, are we boring you?
I heard that all day out here.
I know. All right, final thing is the Archbishop's Labor Day Barbecue. Woo-hoo! Is today in about 5-10 minutes. So join us right after service from the beautiful barbecue coming in from Sonny Bryan's Barbecue. So join us after service for that. For those of you who weren't here and just catching us online and on YouTube and on our podcast, boy, you missed out. I just got to tell you straight up, I already know it's going to be good. All right, moving on. Let's rise for a dismissal.
A bishop a day keeps the devil away. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.